If you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. We've been talking about worship, and in particular, we've been going through the book of Malachi. And just as way of reminder that there are so many passages of Scripture dealing with worship. As we looked last week, we looked in particular at Genesis chapter 22, which spoke specifically of a worship that would be willing to give up an only son. Genesis chapter 22, as we read with Abraham, we see that worship seems to convey that we should be willing to value God's word even when we don't completely understand it, and do what he says above all feelings and emotion. It is an act of trust which would lay everything on the altar. We actually believe that when we place our loved ones, that which we love the most, on the altar before God, that's the safest place for them. We actually believe that. We don't understand it. We don't comprehend how in the world they can be safe on an altar. But God says do it, and we do. And we believe him. We believe God to be good, even though all of the evidence externally seems to be saying something different. And we believe that he's in control and can do the impossible beyond our imagination. And Hebrews says that by faith, Abraham believed that even God was able to raise him from the dead. It is with that we look in Exodus chapter 34, and sometimes understanding what something is, you have to look and see what it isn't. And I think in a way, Exodus chapter 34 reveals to us what is bad worship or what is not worshiping God. If you look with me in chapter 34, verse 12, the call is for the nation to watch themselves. And he says this in verse 12, "Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, lest it become a snare in your midst, but rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherahs." What is clear in verse 13 is that worship seems to be an act of exclusive adoration. You can't have any other gods. There is no room for anything else. There is no courting. There is no bringing in and in some way fellowshipping with. Scripture is real clear that you cannot have any other gods. Exclusive adoration. In fact, it goes on and says this in verse 14, "For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." That's exclusive confidence in only God, isn't it? The very word God is telling us that the inference is you shall have no other strong one. More specifically, you shouldn't put your trust or your confidence in anything else but God. Bad worship is when you and I say that we trust God, but we put our confidence in other things. Scripture is pretty clear. God is a jealous God. And what we see in that is that this is a relational thing. This is not just an act or something that we do. It is a relation. And God is concerned with his relationship with you and wants you to exclusively love him. It's a devotion to God. So really, if you just look at these couple of verses, he is telling us that worship is an exclusive adoration. It is an exclusive confidence in, and clearly it's an exclusive devotion to the Lord. Then he says this in verse 15, "Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play a harlot with their gods, and sacrifice to their gods, and someone invite you to eat of his sacrifice. You take some of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods." It's interesting that he repeats this at least twice, this phrase, "play the harlot," once again inferring the hurt and the pain that is caused by you and I loving something else, trusting something else, devoting our lives to something else, having our confidence in someone else. Lest this cause your sons to play the harlot with their gods. Now watch the last phrase here, verse 17. You shall make for yourselves no molten gods. Up to this point, he's been talking about all the other gods that everybody else has. But now he takes us into a different realm. The realm of imagination. The realm of thought. Molten was that which you could mold into anything you wanted to. It was accordance with your imagination. And I think man has a tendency to dream in ways that he longs to make that physical, and then he loves to adore that dream. God says you cannot take your imagination, mold it into something physical, mold it into something that is a facsimile of permanence, mold it into something that is valuable to you and esteemed and adored to you. We all have our dreams and our imaginations, but they cannot take precedence over God. God is calling upon us to exclusively love Him, even over your imaginations. Oh, Father, we come before you today, and our desire is to love you with all of our hearts. We understand that worship is really an exclusive thing. We've placed you above all else, above our things, our dearest possessions, above even our children. We know that somehow, in some way, you will do best. We don't understand, but we believe you to be good. And even in proclaiming this, you are worshiped. We just want to give you thanks today. In Jesus' name, amen.